T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Forget the cigars, the coffee, the bacon and eggs, and especially those blueberry pancakes. Get me a couple glasses wherever they're at. Glasses, and I'll make you breakfast right now.
Howard Simon.
I got something that'll keep you going all day long, Daddy. Don't worry about a thing, brother. Just don't worry about it.
You have got to be kidding me.
No carbs, no fat, nothing but pure protein, bro. You got to get your head right.
Jeremy White.
Not raw eggs. Oh, that's come on.
This is the only way to go.
Howard Simon.
You're in strict training. We got to watch your diet. We got to make sure you don't get overloaded with all those carbohydrates, and especially that nasty cigar I saw you smoking. The best protein you can get. We're going to do this 4 times a day. Just watch how easy it goes down. And then you're next, brother. This is how we start the day. Every morning and every 2 hours, we do the same thing.
Oh, no.
There's not a better way to go. Come on.
Howard Simon.
You're already late. I was here at 5 in the morning, man. You're sitting there sucking on a cigar and drinking that coffee. Do it, man. You ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
All right.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right. Good morning. It's 6:06 on WGR. Howard is off today. He'll be back tomorrow. My name is Jeremy White. Brayton Wilson is here producing with me. We've got more on Bills camp from Carolina. Josh Allen in the sports update saying a little bit different weather, like 10 degrees hotter, but maybe 12 degrees, maybe 15 degrees. It was pretty hot at training camp at St. John Fisher for a couple of those days. But happy with how things went for day one. Today is day two from South Carolina, from Spartanburg, and we will have you covered, of course, on how things are going for the Bills and Panthers, for that matter. An article up at our website from Louis DiBiase on Cody Ford, his motivation against the Panthers in these practices. And Sal Capaccio joins us at 8 o'clock to recap yesterday's practice, and then again at 9:30 to take us through today's. It'll be another morning practice. And mixed in, we'll also have offensive coordinator Brian Daboll. He speaks to the media. We'll carry that live for you, along with Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, who is a really fun follow on Twitter. Brian Baldinger is a guy that will frequently just kind of break down video film of a player, whether it's a Bills player or anybody else, and just kind of go into the things he sees that he likes. I've seen videos on Tremaine Edmonds. There was one on Ed Oliver a couple days ago, maybe yesterday even. So stay tuned for Brian Baldinger coming up at 9 o'clock this morning, and lots of other stuff along the way. 803-0550 is our phone number. I wanted to start with something on the Bills here that will lead us into a discussion about expectations. I was listening yesterday to the afternoon show, and Armando Salguero was on to talk about the Dolphins, what's going on with the Dolphins. And he talked about Josh Rosen, he talked about Ryan Fitzpatrick, and what Miami is doing. And what Miami is doing is not necessarily tanking, because you can't say you're tanking. You've got a first-year head coach in Brian Flores, who might not be the right guy, but you look at what's going on with the Dolphins, and people think they're going to pick at the top of the draft. They're going to be bad. They're in a rebuilding state. What they're probably going to do is finish near the bottom and draft Tua Tagovailoa or the quarterback from Oregon, Justin Herbert. One of those two. They're going to draft a quarterback, and then they're going to start building around that guy. And I was thinking about this because with regard to the Dolphins, you know, you've got Ryan Fitzpatrick, who, of course, no team has ever tried to build around other than maybe the Bills, who signed him to a multi-year extension and had him be their starter for quite some time. I mean, Fitz has been a journeyman around the league. He's pretty much liked wherever he goes, and he's got a certain level of success. He's fun. He's easy to like. You know, a lot of things about Fitz over the course of his career. He's played in, I'm just going to pull this up because I want to make sure he's played more games for the Bills than anybody else. Fitz has played for 7 different teams, yeah, here we go, and 53 starts for the Bills, which is about twice as many as any other team. The Jets gave him 27. So the Bills are the only team that really even gave Ryan Fitzpatrick more than 2 seasons, more than 1 season. And everywhere else, it's 12 starts, 3 starts, 10 starts, 12 starts, 9 starts. Buffalo, 53. So the Bills are the only team to really ever consider, hey, let's try this thing with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now the Dolphins have him, and we know that's not what they're doing. They're not building around Fitz. They're not trying to win with Fitz. They're just having a nice guy. I shouldn't say it like that, but I think it does matter. Having a guy back there that they can count on, be their quarterback, and nobody's going to get too mad when Ryan Fitzpatrick plays relatively well, but also not good enough. So that's the Fitz side of it. And then there's the Josh Rosen side of it, where, you know, Rosen, according to Armando Salguero, he and Fitzpatrick, neither of them gets any protection. If you watch the Dolphins' first preseason game, they're a mess. They have two offensive guards that are rookies. They have Jordan Mills playing right tackle. The center was injured all of last year. You've got Brian Flores talking about Rosen's bad body language. Armando Salguero saying that it seems like a bad situation for a young quarterback for Rosen to be in. He already was in a bad one in Arizona. They decide to move on, go another direction. He goes to Miami, which might be the only situation that could have been worse, because he goes from the team that did pick first to the team that wants to pick first. So stay with me here. I'm thinking about Rosen, who is in his second, he's landed on a second spot now. He was a highly touted quarterback in the class with Allen and Darnold and Mayfield and Jackson. Some of us liked Rosen an awful lot. Some of us hated Rosen. You know, we all had our opinions on each of these guys. One thing Rosen is in dead last place in is support. And where's Allen in that? Of the five guys, think about that for a second. Mayfield, Darnold, Allen, Rosen, Jackson. Those are your five first-round pick quarterbacks from that draft class that we all paid so much attention to. We were going into that. It was all about who are you going to pick, who do you want, and on and on. And the draft happened, the Bills take Josh Allen, and then we roll forward from there. And last year, around this time, my biggest complaint with the Bills and with their direction, with their mission, with whatever, with what they were doing, my biggest complaint was they've not done enough around Allen. Why would they sit in this spot where the offense is a mess? Last year's offense for the Bills looked like the one that Rosen and Fitz are going into. The weapons weren't good. The line wasn't good. You had nothing to build around your quarterback. And it was all about, well, they're going to wait a year. You know, they've got cap space. They'll spend some picks. All right, so we had to wait a year. And with that cap space and with some of those picks, they did exactly that, right? Cody Ford on the offensive line, Mitch Morrison free agency as well on the offensive line, Cole Beasley, John Brown. You went out and you made your moves. So it took until Allen's second year to get anybody in place where you would be comfortable and say, all right, he's got help now. Last year, he's by himself. He's running for his life, as we like to say. He's playing hero ball. I was worried about that. Maybe you were worried. Maybe you weren't. Maybe you thought Calvin Benjamin and Zay Jones were going to be good weapons for him. Maybe you thought that Jordan Mills would work on the offensive line. I was just worried about everything on the offense because I thought, whether you like the quarterback or not, whoever it is, you don't have anything around him. So now the Bills do, and I put up a Twitter poll, and I'd love your vote, whichever way you want to go, and also your reaction, your thought on this. Have the Bills done enough around Josh Allen to support his skill set and to fully evaluate whether or not he's the guy? Basically, have they done enough where when we start this year and we start watching, there aren't going to be calls about, well, the line isn't any good. They haven't addressed the line. I think that one's toast. I think there's no chance for that. Are we going to be faced with a situation this year where we think the weapons aren't good enough, right? You add John Brown and Cole Beasley to Robert Foster and Zay Jones. You don't have a really true tight end that's a dynamic playmaker, at least not an established one yet. And your running backs, I don't think anybody would be too upset about the running backs they have. McCoy has been good in the past. They drafted one as well. So it comes right down to, have the Bills done enough around Josh Allen to support him, to fully evaluate whether or not he's the guy? Look at their moves. Look at the offseason. If you take me from 1 year ago today to today, I'm kind of asking myself of a year ago, well, you satisfied? Have they done it? Yes or no? My answer, it's funny. It can be a bit of a tough question to vote in a Twitter poll because I do want to pull it apart even though I wrote it. But my answer to have they done enough is yes. They have done enough to evaluate him. The second part is, but that kind of doesn't matter to me. They've done enough to evaluate him because you don't have to be completely insulated with your other positions to see if your quarterback is any good. But the other part of it is, no, they haven't done enough yet because the offense, I think, it hinges greatly on Allen. But I need, eventually, maybe next year, more playmakers. And I need very dynamic pieces on the offense because, to me, that's what separates a lot of these teams in the league. The good teams from the not-so-good teams. The great teams from the boring teams. The teams that can score. I am an offense guy. Give me the offense. Give me the points. Give me the scores. Give me anything you can to get in the end zone. And if Allen's great, that's great news. Find him the best receivers you possibly can. And when I get to that part of the question, I say no, they have not yet done enough. So they've not done enough to be a great offense. But I do think they have done enough to evaluate Allen. So if it's okay to kind of pull that apart, I know the Twitter poll doesn't actually allow you to do that, but I'm doing that. Have they done enough? How should the offense look this year? 803-0550 is our phone number, 1-888-552-550. Then there's the coaching side of it. We're going to hear from offensive coordinator Brian Daboll coming up later today, about 845. We'll carry his press conference live. One thing Allen has that none of the other guys have in the same draft class, Mayfield, Darnold, Allen, Rosen, Jackson. I always do them in order. That helps me remember who they are and who went where. One thing Allen has, the others don't, the same offensive coordinator. I mean, Mayfield's got Freddie Kitchens as his coach, and he was his coordinator, so that's kind of close. But Sam Darnold, new coach. Josh Rosen, new team, and his third coordinator now. And Lamar Jackson, they made changes. Greg Roman runs that operation over there now. So everybody else has changed, and Allen's had the same offensive coordinator since day one. He's changed his quarterback room. He's changed his veteran teammates. But for how you build around a guy and how you have, if you think continuity is important, you know, for the four guys, the five guys, or the five guys in the class, who's had the best situation to step into? Rosen's in last. I think Allen might be second to last in the situation that they stepped into. And I can't decide if he's still there or if he's right on the level with Darnold and Jackson in terms of what they have to work with. There's no doubt Mayfield has the best skill positions. Mayfield has the best supporting cast. Mayfield also happens to be the best of the bunch, at least so far. Yesterday I'm watching Colin Cowherd predict that Sam Darnold will be the best quarterback of this class, and for the next 12 years he will be one of the two best quarterbacks in the NFL. It'll be Mahomes and Sam Darnold. Now, Darnold, coming out of college, he was okay. You know, I was not overly impressed with Darnold. Thought he was, you know, I liked each one of these guys for a little bit. I liked probably the least of Allen. But since coming here, he's shown, you know, a little bit of promise. Maybe a lot of bit of promise for some of you. But I don't see the Darnold thing making him the second best quarterback for the next 12 years. Mayfield, I think you could make that case. And Jackson, well, he's still a lot of a to be determined. But for Allen, I think there is enough in place. I think there's plenty here to evaluate whether or not he's good. And do you count the defense in that? That's another big part of this. The Bills should have a good defense. So when I'm talking about a situation a quarterback goes into, while, yes, the offense had been, last year, neglected for Allen, the defense was there, and the defense was very responsible for a number of his wins, the number of games that he was able to win. When the defense holds the opposing team to 13 points, that's a nice situation for a quarterback to have. You don't exactly have to shoot as high, and wins are wins. So thinking about this question, have they done enough to support his skill set and fully evaluate him? Yes or no, you can vote in our Twitter poll, or you can call us at 803-0550. 1-888-550-2550. I've got some replies to the question. I've got some votes. I'll read you some of these, and if you want to call, please do. And the first one is, holy hell, this can't be a thing this year. Get ready for it. That's how it works. That's how this works. It is always a thing, especially when you have a young quarterback. It's always a thing. No matter who the guy is, if things don't go well, what's the first thing you do? You fire the coordinator. Then what? You get some weapons, right? Think about years past. You know, you can remember conversations with your friends as you're waiting for J.P. Lossman to take the next step or E.J. Manuel to take the next step. I can remember a time where people blamed Stevie Johnson for not getting open. Remember how ridiculous that was? Like, no matter who you are, if you're a quarterback or any player really of any position that people want to believe in, if there are struggles, there are going to be times when they blame the other people. This is why offensive coordinators get fired all the times. It's why offensive coordinators move from team to team with stunning frequency. I mean, Brian Daboll himself has been an offensive coordinator 5 different places. I mean, in Buffalo, I think people are pretty happy with how things have gone. But the first few stops, he didn't have a good quarterback. And what happens? He gets dumped. That's how it works. If your quarterback doesn't play well, somebody gets fired. If you think Josh Rosen was terrible in Arizona, that offensive coordinator, how long did he last? About 4 weeks? Gone. The changes you make are not necessarily the changes you should. It's about trying to save something that looks like it needs saving. That's just to the question about this can't be a thing this year. It is a thing. It will be a thing. Having done enough of these seasons, having seen enough young quarterbacks, whether it's Lossman or even Trent Edwards or E.J. Manuel, this is how it goes. If there are struggles for Allen this year, you will most definitely hear that the support group is not enough. Not necessarily saying that's going to be the majority opinion, but it'll definitely be there. So that's why I asked the question. I want to know what the number is. What number going in, before seeing anything, think they've done enough around him? 61% voting say yes, they have. They've done enough around him. For me, they've done enough. I would hope that they want to do more, which is what gets me to, eventually, at some point today, we'll talk a little bit more about it, the Jadeveon Clowney rumors that just won't seem to go away. There was a tweet from a guy in Houston maybe a month ago that said he'd be surprised, or don't be surprised, if the Bills trade for Jadeveon Clowney. And here we have it a little further on in the training camp, that Clowney looks to be on the move. It happened again yesterday that the chatter is there and the Bills are being linked to Jadeveon Clowney again. Here's John McClain, not from Die Hard, but from a guy that covers the NFL for the Houston Chronicle. It could be the same guy. Anyway, I'll be surprised if Jadeveon Clowney is not traded. They need an upgrade at left tackle to protect Deshaun Watson. Left tackles don't grow on trees. I have no idea who it would be at this time of the year. And immediately, Bills fans who might want Jadeveon Clowney jumped in with, how about Deion Dawkins? Deion Dawkins for Clowney. And that brings with it a whole nother set of questions and a whole nother set of opinions. For me, I have trouble with that one. Because as this conversation, as this, you know, this whole first segment here, as I've laid it out, is Jadeveon Clowney better than Deion Dawkins? Yeah, definitely. But the Bills cannot continue to build a defense and ignore their offense. And I will have a really tough time swinging a deal that takes a piece away from Allen. He has enough right now. He has enough to work with. But I'm not sure that he has enough to overcome a struggling season on offense for him, if he struggles. I'm looking for as much on offense as possible. Whether, you know, you can look at the Chiefs, the Rams, the Patriots of Tom Brady. I like looking at the Chiefs and the Rams and the Browns and teams that are just flush with weapons and flush with ways to score on you. Atlanta's another one. You know, do these teams win the Super Bowl every year? No. But, man, are they actual contenders? And teams that have so little on offense, like the Bills, they're adequate now. I think they are adequate. Isn't that everyone's biggest hang-up with trying to figure out how good they're going to be? How good's the offense going to be? Can they get back to running the ball effectively? If they can, does that mean that they run it effectively so they can pass it more? You know, all the questions on this Bills team come down to what the offense can do. And a trade that would send any piece of the offense away to bolster an already strong defense, I would be really nervous about that. Even if it's a guy with the skill set of Jadeveon Clowney who could come in and help be a game wrecker in this scheme. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Got a lot of tweets. to catch up on. I will. We'll go through these, Brayton, and I'll go through some of these tweets, some of these answers. Have they done enough around Josh Allen to support his skill set and to fully evaluate whether or not he's the guy? 60-40, the answer is yes. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Bills back to it today with Josh Allen and Cam Newton comparisons. I want to get into some of those as well. One of the reasons I like the comparison, one of the reasons I don't like the comparison. I'll tell you about that as we go as well. Our number 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Looking like a beautiful day. Happy Wednesday. Temps up near 80 today, clear, sunny, and, you know, it's a beautiful August summer day. Jeremy White with you. Brayton Wilson here as well on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Out of me, man, is just come in, compete, be a leader that like I am. I don't want to step on nobody's toes, any things like that. But you know, we got a lot of young guys in the secondary, especially at the cornerback position and at the nickelback position. So they just want me to come in and bring them under my wings. And you know, competition. I told those guys when they first signed me, I talked to the young guys. I said, listen, competition bring out the best of everybody. You know, if I'm playing at a very high level and I raise your game up, and you playing at a very high level, it makes everybody better. It makes the team better. So I'm all about going out there competing. And I told those guys that's why I'm here for, just compete. If you win a job, you win a job, but we definitely gonna go out there, we're gonna compete, and we're gonna see who's gonna win the job the best man.
Oh, Captain, my captain. That is Captain Munnerlyn, who was on with One Bills Live. The Bills and Panthers got it done at Wofford College, the Wofford Terriers, their joint practice from Spartanburg, South Carolina. A spirited practice, according to Arcel Capaccio. No fights. That's a win. We'll see how day two goes. Highly competitive, spirited scraps, but no fights. Mitch Morse on hand in a red non-contact jersey. He remains in concussion protocol, but huge step for him. He's out, been out for over 2 weeks. He did not participate in any team drills. Other things going on, Russell Bodine and Connor McDermott, also in red non-contact jerseys. The offensive line, from left to right, went Dawkins, Spain, Feliciano, Cody Ford, and Ty Nsekhe. Ed Oliver starting on the D-line. Sorry, I had to sneeze. Cornerback Kevin Johnson got time in the slot, backing up Taron Johnson. LeSean McCoy started at running back. Goran Singletary got plenty of work mixed in. Josh Allen and Cole Beasley working well at the first-team offense when going against the Panthers' first-team defense. And the connection was all over the field, not just underneath, according to Sal. Outside the numbers, mid-range. And on deep balls, Allen missed. Sal says it was a day of just misses. Two of them were on the money, but not held. They were dropped. Tommy Sweeney couldn't bring in a ball that hit him in the hands. John Brown had one in his hands on a post pattern, and the defensive back was able to get a hand in, and then he overthrew Robert Foster on a corner route as well. And one of the big stories from camp, from Panthers camp, is how many Bills fans were there. There was, I don't know if you saw a lot of the videos out there, not just Sal, but a lot of people tweeting out videos and posting videos on Facebook or wherever you might see him on the news, yada, yada, that Bills fans showed up in Spartanburg, South Carolina to say hi to the Bills. So there you go. Bills Mafia, Bills Nation, active just about everywhere. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Looking through Sal's post, they practice again today. It's another joint practice. Starts at 9:25 this morning. Brian Daboll to talk with the media coming up at 8:45 or thereabouts this morning. Leslie Frazier to also meet with the media. We do have a schedule to bring you Leslie to bring you Brian Daboll, and we'll see if we can fit Leslie Frazier in. We have Brian Baldinger booked for 9 o'clock as well, and we'll hear from Sal at the top of the hour.
I believe Leslie Frazier is going to speak after practice, so you'll probably hear that during One Bills Live.
I thought I read it as after Brian Daboll, but after practice. Okay, there you go. For One Bills Live, you can have that. So there you go. There's your update. Other headlines. The Colts and Andrew Luck, getting dicey. He might not play the entire preseason, and it's a high ankle issue. According to the GM, the owner went on the radio and said it was something. The GM had to clarify what it is. The whole thing with Andrew Luck looks like kind of a mess for the Colts.
And again.
That's not good news. John Gruden expects Antonio Brown to be good to go for week one, which would be good for the Raiders and good for the league as well. You know, the Brown stuff has been a lot of taking away, or I shouldn't say taking away, but effectively using time to talk about the NFL. I said this yesterday with Howard that we've got to extend the preseason pledge to everything, and that means holdouts and contract stuff, absolutely everything, because no matter what happens, and this actually extends to the Bills. This is why, maybe, if you're a coach, you don't want anybody that's going to, finger quotes here, upset the apple cart, because anything that happens becomes the biggest story in the NFL for a week because there aren't any real games. So if there's a fight in practice, it ends up being, oh my God, what's going on at such and such camp? That's two fights in a week. Has the coach lost control? And depending on which, you know, which camp it is, which team it is, if it's the Cowboys, it's a bigger deal. If it's the Raiders right now, they're a lightning rod. This time of year, anything that happens is a huge deal. And that goes right down to the Cowboys offering Dak Prescott $30 million and him turning it down when he's not in a contract year. Or, I'm sorry, he is in a contract year. When he's not a free agent, he's not holding out. They've got a running back that's holding out. And somehow they turned everyone's anger on Dak Prescott for not taking a deal that he doesn't have to take. So this time of year, there are two things. Everything that's bad is very bad, and everything else that happens is great. Try to have as good a day as a football team has at training camp. Everything is great. Everybody has a great day. Everybody's team looks good. Everybody's X-Factor player is on track to make a difference. Everybody's underrated unit is going to surprise people this year. It's the time of year where, you know, they say hope springs eternal. I think with fans that's true because why not? You should be that way. But in training camp, sometimes the day-to-day becomes everybody looks great. 803-0550. Opened up with a question in a Twitter poll. Have the Bills done enough around Josh Allen? That's the short version. Have they done enough around him? Yes or no? To evaluate whether or not he's the guy. Because I don't think we're going to have a hardcore decision by the end of this year from the team. And they've built this offense around him as you'd want them to with a young quarterback. So do you think they've done enough to evaluate him fairly? My answer is yes. I would also say I would want them to do more. I want them to keep looking on the offensive end, and I wonder when, if ever, they'll kind of get to tilting that way. Mike in East Aurora. Mike, you're leading us off. Good morning. Oh, hold on, Mike. Hold on. I did the thing when Brayton's got to come in here. This is a tradition unlike any other. It's like the Masters. We take a phone call. Brayton's got to come in here and make a change. I don't know how this stuff works. When I hit the button, it plays it on speakerphone in this room. And you know what? It's one of those things you should probably just show me eventually so I can just do it myself and make the fix. Hold on. We'll get to you, Mike. Everybody that gets through this gets a gold star. Mike, you're on WGR.
Hey, good morning, Jeremy.
Good to have you.
I just want to say that everything I hear and see in camp so far is pointing me to Cole Beasley being the X factor this year. He can be like our Julian Edelman, you know, the safety valve for Josh Allen. And I do believe that will open up the running game more and also the deep ball. And, you know, as hope springs eternal this part of the year, I think that a lot of these drop long passes will, during a real game time scenario, maybe more of them will be caught. Guys will be trying a little harder. But it is also scary to that you know, Cole Beasley, all of what, 5'10 of them, is the key to our season.
Yeah.
In my mind. I don't know who his backup is, but maybe you could fill me in.
Well, they've got –
That's just.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's just my thoughts.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Yeah, on the receiving battle and who's on this team, you know, you're mentioning Beasley, and I'm looking at Dak Prescott's game log, because what week did they acquire Amari Cooper? We've got to find that out, because Beasley had a good year with the Cowboys last year. He was a good receiver. Dak Prescott in the final eight games of the year. I'm going to do this on the fly, and then I'm going to answer your questions. And if anyone else wants to give a call, 803-0550. Amari Cooper played how many games with the Cowboys? The reason I'm getting to this is Beasley was good, and then the Cowboys went out and got Amari Cooper, and things changed. Like, their offense, it kind of exploded, and they were able to walk away from Beasley and decide, well, I got to get Cooper signed. This is a stud, big weapon. Okay, with Dallas, he played nine games. I'll give you Dak Prescott's stats in the nine games following and the seven games before Amari Cooper. He jumps into their offense, and Dak Prescott goes 14 touchdowns and four interceptions in that time, which is pretty good for a half a season. In the first seven games, Dak Prescott was 8-4. So the interception number stayed about the same. Quarterback rating went from an 87 to whatever it would have been for the last half of the season. I guess what I'm getting to with this is I wonder, can they have their Cole Beasley and add an Amari Cooper somewhere and be a real threat? Oh, here you go. So Dak's rating with Amari Cooper jumped 18 points. Half a season without, half a season with. And it jumped 18 points. Beasley's on that team the whole time. It's not to say anything about Beasley not being any good. I think Beasley's a nice weapon for them. But, you know, if he's hurt, who's their backup? I mean, during the first preseason game, I'm thinking I want to find a way to get Isaiah McKenzie on this team. You know, your receivers are John Brown, Cole Beasley, Robert Foster, Zay Jones, who can work in the slot a little bit, of course. Andre Roberts, who makes special teams, and then, you know, is Isaiah McKenzie, can he find a way to make it? Do you find a way to get Cam Phillips on this team? I would say Beasley is important. When I wrote about it at our website, I put him as a top 10 player on this team in terms of importance. He will be the guy I count on Allen to throw it to when they need to extend drives, when it's a third and four and they're going to pass it, when it's a third and six. It doesn't always have to be third down, but he's the drive extender. And, you know, there have been positive reports about how things are going. And that's great news. But, you know, if you think about the really explosive offenses, if it's Tyreek Hill in the slot, check his numbers with and without Sammy Watkins on the outside. I know, you know, around here people don't like to admit that Watkins has been important to the Chiefs. He's not been massively productive. But he's been important, and having that threat on the outside that commands so much attention helps them a lot. You know, you can have enough weapons where Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster are on the same field. Or if you are the – pick another team that's got good weapons. If you're the Falcons with Julio Jones and now Calvin Ridley and a tight end in Austin Hooper. You know, you get multiple weapons. The idea is, I think – by the way, I mentioned the Chiefs without mentioning Travis Kelce – it kind of sounds like fantasy football on some level, but, you know, for the Bills, one of the responses I got to the question about if they've put enough in about Josh Allen, one of the responses was, how many teams in this league would call John Brown a number one receiver? And the answer is none. I don't think any would. You know, the Bills will call him that for now, but I'd be looking down the road as they continue to build with Josh Allen to get a true X, a true outside number one, that guy that so many teams do have. And the Bills have had a few of those, but not too many. I'd be wanting to find a way to get Molds, right? Not the Molds, but, you know, a guy like Eric Molds. Maybe they thought they were getting that in Calvin Benjamin, and it blew up in their face. And that's why they were pursuing Antonio Brown and didn't ultimately end with him. So there are positive signs that they are pursuing that. And it would be something that I would, you know, I wanted it this year in the draft. Second round, third round, anywhere. And it didn't really happen. I wanted it last year after they took Allen when they traded up for Edmonds. I'm looking for a receiver there. Second round, third round. It really didn't happen. Ray McLeod. Sorry, that's the other guy I forgot. So, you know, the Beasley signing looks nice. There are reasons to think that'll work well. It's one of the reasons when, if I continue to bring up this Clowney trade, if it means trading offense for defense, I'm going to get real nervous about that. How good can your defense be and you still be not a playoff team? Because that has happened to the Bills before, not just other teams in the league. I think their defense will be very good. Adam Schein has a write-up at NFL.com. He says they're top five, which for expectations, sure. He has them as the fifth-ranked defense to start the season, behind Jacksonville, the Chargers, the Cowboys, and the Bears. Fifth. If they're a top-five defense and Josh Allen and the offense are just okay, you're having a fun season from a win-loss standpoint. But two or three seasons like that, and it becomes, is this the ceiling? Is this as high as this team can get? Going to need some more on the offense, in my opinion. 803-0550. But I think it's one of the reasons I'm excited about this year is that expectations are on the way up, and that is a welcome sight. It's not a just be better than last year for everybody. For some it is, but for a lot, it's real expectation time, and that's just great news. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. We'll catch up on more tweets again. Stay tuned. We've got Sal Capaccio, 8 o'clock, to recap the practice from Carolina, where there were tons of Bills fans. I saw Steve Tasker got a hero's welcome. Walked into some Eastside Bar and Grill. The place is packed. And I think there was a family there that named their child Tasker. Was that real? That's a good name. I got to give it to him. That's a good name.
The kid is, like, I think Steve said 15 months old or something like that.
Wait a minute. I just came up with something here. How many of the classic, of the 90s Bills, how many of their last names make good first names?
Reed.
Thomas.
Thomas.
Kelly.
Kelly.
Smith works.
Yeah.
Smith. Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
Works. I mean, do they all work?
I don't think Tally worked well.
Sure it does.
Eh.
Tally Wilson. No?
No, not quite.
Well, there's a lot. I mean, Tasker sounds good, so.
I mean, my niece's nickname is Tally, but it's not.
There you go. Her name is Tally.
It's not Daryl Tally, though.
What's her actual name?
Tallis.
Tallis. Yeah, that's Tally. That counts. You said it's not good, and your own niece has that name? That's rough.
Oh, I did not mean it that way, Jeremy.
All right. 803-0550. Yeah, more your calls, more your tweets, more your texts. And I've got to get you something. The Broncos said goodbye to a tradition. We'll talk about that when we get back.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Happy Wednesday. The Bisons are home for some baseball, which is fun. Who doesn't like baseball? You can head to Bisons.com, pick up your tickets for a game. We played last night. Two more weekends left in the Bisons season. Here it is Wednesday. Only 12 games left. Toledo, it's Buffalo Wings Wednesday, presented by 716 Food and Sport. Bisons to play as the Buffalo Wings, which I think they should change to full-time. The wing specials during the game, $2 off tickets with any 716 Food and Sport receipt. Buffalo Wings logo tumbler giveaway to the first 2,000 fans through the Swan Street Gate. Gates open at 6. Tomorrow is the final weekday matinee game. Tonight, 7:05. Tomorrow, 1:05. You know, take a long lunch.
To your point, though, with the changing the name to the Wings, you know how many people in Rochester would be really upset about that?
I mean, I've got White Sox and Red Sox. I've got Knights and Black Knights.
Yeah.
I've got Devils and Blue Devils. I can have Wings and Red Wings.
They could change their name to the Plates full-time.
Yes, they could.
I think people would love that there.
Yes, they could. Hockey night is going to be Friday. Friday night bash, post-game fireworks, Resurgence Brewing Happy Hour begins at 5. $3 craft beer and food specials. They're wearing Sabres-style jerseys. Hockey night jerseys signed by Rasmus Dahlin and Jeff Skinner. You can bid at Bisons.com. Superhero night is Saturday the 17th. Trolls Day at the ballpark. Oh, my Twitter followers are going to go, huh? Come on, that's... No?
No, I'll give you credit for that.
Troll,
that's a good one.
Trolls Day?
I don't think it was meant for that.
No,
kind of
it's featuring a visit by Poppy and Branch.
I like Poppy and Branch.
Sure.
They're cool.
Bisons.com.
They're in the club.
Trolls Day. It could be fun to be had with a Trolls Day. 803-0550. Talking support system, support cast in place for Josh Allen. We'll get back to that a little bit. The Denver Broncos, there's a story, I just teased this as one around the league kind of story. The Denver Broncos, their head coach is Vic Fangio. Earlier this season, he took away their music, no more music during training camp, which some coaches use not only because music is something to make it a party. Some coaches use it because it's a way to get players to focus through sound, crowd noise, whatever it might be. You play that music, and it's sure, it's on in the background, but during play, you kind of have to focus in and pay attention. But he banned music from training camp. And one other thing they've done with the Broncos, they used to do rookie haircuts, and they're not doing it this year. So he says he doesn't think it's right, doesn't believe in hazing. There are traditions to stay put. Guys are getting up in front of the team, doing a little skit every night. Maybe a rookie's carrying somebody's pads off the field, but nothing physical. So he took away the rookie haircuts, which is fine. Doesn't bother me. But maybe some of the players that got their haircut last year are mad that they don't get a chance to do it this year. There's also a clip we'll play from you on from Dominic Foxworth a little bit later in the show. He's speaking with Mina Kimes on ESPN and just obliterated a point about training camps and how a coach comes in and wants to be tough and physical and make you hit more and make you work harder. And Dominic Foxworth, who was an analyst for ESPN, just blew it up. And it was interesting to listen to a former player talk about it this way because, you know, we always think about players as working for the coach. But the reality is that the coach is a manager. The players work for themselves, really. They sign with a team. But all of the things that are determined in training camp, number of practices, how many pads practices there can be, how many workouts there can be, it's all negotiated between the NFL and the Players Association. So, you know, you're a coach, you come in and say, I'm going to run the toughest camp there is. You are actually, by the CBA, bound to a maximum number of padded practices. And, you know, sometimes I think we think about football like it's an old movie where the coach decides he's going to really get down to business with this team and make sure they straighten up. Well, as long as you fall in line with the CBA, you know, there are actual rules in place about all that stuff. So we'll get you that highlight a little bit later. I thought it was enlightening. It was kind of cool. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Bill season approaching. We've got another practice on the way today from Spartanburg, South Carolina. You ever been to South Carolina?
I have not, no.
I've been once. I went to Hilton Head, which was beautiful.
Well, you went to Clemson, right?
I did go to Clemson, which
In South Carolina.
Thank you. That's right. I forgot that because I flew into Georgia and then had to drive to Clemson.
Gotcha.
Yeah. You're right. I've been to South Carolina twice mm-hmm. then. Hilton Head and Clemson. It's nice there. The Palmetto State. I think so. All right. Anyway, I'm sorry.
I didn't know their state name. So if that's
well,
if,
now you know.
Yeah,
the Palmetto State.
Yeah, that'll be helpful for trivia one of these days.
I was going to say, don't Google it. I'm mostly sure. Would bet my house on it. Sure, no, but close. That it's the Palmetto State. It's one of my It's one of my top 60 states for sure. As long as we're listing our top 60 states, you saw what Magic Johnson did yesterday, right? Holy cow, that was amazing. Magic Johnson turns 60 and decides it's time to start ranking his top 60 things in certain categories.
Well, good news if you were to bet your house on
Palmetto State.
Palmetto State is correct.
Sweet. He starts ranking his top 60 movies, top 60 places to visit. Is South Carolina on the list? I'm not sure if it made it. Top 60 sports figures turned entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm. They were all in alphabetical order, too.
Right. It's one thing to have a ranking of the top 60. It's another to do an alphabetical order.
Right.
Yeah.
By the way, interesting facts about South Carolina. Do you know any interesting facts about South Carolina?
Interesting facts. I know that. I mean, I presumably know some. I'd like you to tell me a few.
Well, the only one that I can give you right off the top of my head, just because I haven't done so much research, the only thing that I can tell you off the top of my head that I know is that they were the first state to secede from the Union back in 1860.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, yeah.
I feel like that's against them. They're the Palmetto State. What else do I know about South Carolina? Clemson, I'll tell you this, though. I've said it a lot on the air. That trip to Clemson was amazing, and they really are the nicest people in the entire world to an opposing fan. I wish I could. If you've gone to any sporting event and had stuff thrown at you or been spit on or anything that happens at sporting events, the way to get through that and accept that there are good people in the world, I can't speak to them as actual people, but as sports fans, you should just pick a Clemson game where you can get tickets online for $12. I don't care if they're playing Vanderbilt. Dress in all Vanderbilt gear, and you will eat and drink for free for 2 days because they will just buy you food and buy you drinks or feed you off their own tailgate. You will not pay a dollar. It is wonderful.
I'm booking my trip right now.
I'm serious. Like, hey, honey, where can we go for a free vacation? Well, let's get the all-inclusive Clemson package. You just fly down there, get a room, and wear the other team's gear. Boom, you're good. All-inclusive. 803-0550. Back on the other side with more from the Bills and their pursuit of a good offense when we return on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.